You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
It's Highly Suspect Reviews with Justin Zarian. That's right, I have moved over from Breakfast Pub and all the other stuff to Highly Suspect Reviews. And this is special because I want to take initiative on this review for Cobra Kai, the sequel TV series to The Karate Kid. And, well, this is kind of a big deal because it's the biggest profile project for YouTube Red, which they've had some original series before this, including the Step Up series, which was fine, you know, it was okay. But this is really their big calling card, their big, like, this is what we can do. And because apparently no one on OneOfUs.net had seen this show, I decided to recruit one of my regulars here and, you know, great guy, great friend, Nick Tice from the UGO podcast, Unapologetic Geek Out. How are you doing, man?
Well, that I was a great guy before I ended up joining the Cobra Kai dojo. Cobra Kai! No mercy! Now I strike first, and I strike hard, Justin.
You turn into a passive-aggressive bully as well?
There is no weakness in this review, Justin. There is no weakness in this review.
Yes, and, you know, the funny thing is about this review, you might go in and saying, okay, I saw the trailers, they're painting William Zabka as Johnny to be more of the good guy, they're painting Ralph Macchio as Daniel to be more of the bad guy, but you are not prepared for how unexpectedly complex this series is, because I'm just going to go straight up right now. This series is great. Did you agree,
Nick? It is surprisingly awesome.
Yeah, I did not expect that. I expected it, if anything, to be like, you know, it's going to be fun. What, like, three of the writers are the guys who do Harold and Kumar movies, and then two of the other guys do the Hot Tub Time Machine movie. So, you know, you're not expecting high quality of writing quality or, you know, standard production when you come with that. But boy, was I wrong when it came to the writing quality, because sorry, I'm just shocked. This show, it's a half-hour series, you know, 22 minutes to 30 minutes a piece each episode, 10 episodes long. And I don't know about you, Nick, I sat through this an entire, like, sitting, and I binged the entire season.
Same day. I finished it, like, 2 hours ago.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, for people who don't...
I just started it because, like, okay, let me walk you through it here, Justin, because...
Yeah.
Justin puts out the call on our Facebook Messenger, and no one responds back to this guy. Mm-hmm. No one wanted to review this with you. To be completely honest, it was just dead silence. And
the
it was
most,
like,
I got was some likes, like, good for you, Justin, with, you know, thumbs ups.
So I'm like, ah, oh, man, you come on our podcast all the time, and I didn't want to leave you hanging. But to be completely honest, Justin, I'm going to say something right now that might get me in trouble with some of the 80s fans here, but I'm not the greatest fan of The Karate Kid.
Fair enough.
I mean, you know what? I like it. I think it's okay. I feel like its status as this classic is a little questionable. And I pretty much just dismiss all of the sequels, to be completely honest.
Most people don't fuck with
the sequels at all.
I saw The Next Karate Kid, and that movie is utter hot garbage. I mean, sorry, Hilary Swank.
The Hilary Swank one, yeah.
Yeah.
Where she's fucking with that dumb hawk. Oh, man, that movie sucks. So I was like, I really didn't even want to watch it, but I'm like, you know, I'm doing some editing today and I'll throw it on in the background and maybe I'll watch enough of it so I can back you up on this review. And by the end of it, by the time we get the final, you know, fighting going on, I am shockingly into it. I was amazed how much I was like, rooting for my favorite particular kids this time, because we have a whole new Cobra Kai team. I'm sorry, I should let you kick it off for the general plot structure, because we didn't even get into that, but...
No, I mean, and I agree more or less, so... Yeah, so basic synopsis. This is set, I think, what, 30 years after the initial Karate Kid? I'm assuming it says that the other sequels are canon. Maybe not the Hilary Swank one, but part 2 and 3? I mean,
I think part two. I mean, at least part two, because they do mention that he broke up with what's her name, Allie.
Oh, Allie.
Like,
yeah.
I think they broke up right after that. Like they for the next movie too. So I think that's canon. Hard to tell if how many of the other movies are actually canon or not.
Yeah, so basically this is set, it's 2014-15, and we focus primarily on Johnny from the previous movies. And, man, they make – Johnny in this show is pretty much like a step above a trailer park. Like what? We open on him, you know, beer cans all around his apartment. He's cooking up a fancy breakfast of fried bologna. And yeah. They really try to sell you on the – this guy's life hit the skids after the Karate Kid. I mean, okay, I guess you don't win a tournament, your life goes to hell. But – one of the great things they did about that was they give you a lot of introduction to why you should feel sorry for Johnny. Like, he's not just some brat. He's not just some dick. He is a dick, but he had a lot of stuff around his life that influenced his decisions. And sure enough, you know, he's very, you know, self-loathing about himself. This new family moved in with this kid who keeps bothering him. He really wants to dig himself out of this situation. And because of the insistence of Daniel LaRusso, who is just everywhere around him, he cannot escape him from the advertisements, and this guy's a super success. He owns a car dealership. Johnny decides to go back to his roots. He's like, you know, the one thing I ever did right in my career was karate. And he decides to, with his last little bits of money, open up a new dojo and a strip mall. And pretty much this is the story of Johnny trying to pull himself up by his bootstraps to be able to get back into prominence. And meanwhile, we also have the story with Daniel LaRusso, who, you know, like I said, he's a car dealer, he's married, he's got kids, he's living a pretty good life. But he, you know, discovers that Johnny is still around and that he's opened up this dojo. And that does not sit well because he remembers what happened when Cobra Kai was in power last time and all the bullies it created.
Yeah, it's interesting to see Danny's reaction, because when he first sees Johnny, before the dojo opens up, he kind of fucks with him a little bit. He's not a complete asshole about it, but you can tell he's like rubbing it in a little bit.
It feels like he's gotten a little bit drunk on his power to the point like, look, he's maybe not a nice guy, but he thinks a little too much of himself at this point.
Yeah, and I was like that whole segment where he's, you know, like, you know what, you come over, I want to help you, have you meet some of these guys, and he's introducing to people like this. Oh, is this the guy whose ass you kicked? And it's like, well, I technically kicked him in the face, you know, you know, it's a long time. And he, you know, he offers to pay for the car, you know,
yeah,
and
at that point, he fixes it for free.
And I'm kind of, you know, at that point, I'm kind of with Johnny. I'm like, man, fuck you. And it was like, I was surprised at how quickly they made me kind of go, like, in that particular instance, I was kind of like, yeah, you condescending motherfucker. Like, I was actually understanding why Johnny was kind of pissed.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, they did enough where you can see it from Johnny's perspective, but Daniel wasn't being a complete dick. I mean...
Oh, no. But then you flip the script and you see it, like, the next episode is actually from Danny's perspective, more or less.
Yeah.
And all he sees is Cobra Kai go back up, and it triggers him back to, like, oh, shit. That's what that was my worst high school memory, and like I don't want that happen to the kids around here again. Like it's like his mortal enemy has been resurrected, and like what it really does is like throughout the whole show it brings back his insecurities that he never quite got rid of.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's almost like it was just yesterday for both of them. Like, all the stuff that happened to Karate Kid is like, no, that is a fresh open wound in both of their hearts, kind of thing.
Like, he's got the job, he's got the wife, he's got the kids, his life is great, and he's be happy up until he sees that sign. And then he sees that sign, and it's like he's a kid again. And I was just like, that is so interesting to me that there was just this insecure kid still hiding behind there, just underneath the surface enough that a fucking... karate dojo could send his life into a spiral. Like,
yeah, it's pretty crazy. And I think the greatest, you know, I had been talking about this on the Breakfast Pub with the trailers that we had seen. And the one thing I had hoped for in the show is, can you do a smart enough Karate Kid series where you give equal weight to both characters, and in fact, all the characters, without me hating or loving anyone too much? And I'll be damned. They did it. They actually found a way to make every character likable in the series. I mean, except for Danny's son, who was just a little turd throughout the entire thing.
Oh, that kid. That I love how they never they never gave him a redemption arc. Like,
no,
he's just a little shit the whole time.
But I was shocked where I'm like, Johnny and Danny, first of all, I got to say, Ralph Macchio and William Zabka, never been better. Like,
they're really good in this. They're portraying some really deep-seated emotional issues that they both have, and they're both kind of the dark side of some sort of coin that, like, I mean, Johnny's all about he was raised on this 80s toxic masculinity that just permeates everything he does, but he has like this thing about it to where he does like start to respect the kids and wants to actually help them, and like he actually starts to feel fulfilled by this. Like,
well, it helps too that like he's not only just being toxic, but some of the stuff he's doing actually is benefiting some of the people. Like it's just so happened they targeted people who are outcasts and nerds and people who need a boost of confidence. Like, obviously they can take it way too far, but some of the lessons he is teaching actually is benefiting a few of their lives, you know?
Well, he recognizes that his sensei went too far. He's like, nah, but, you know, the karate itself, it really helped him when he was a kid, and he wants to bring that back. The weird thing is that he goes with it, he wants to toughen up the kids, and some of these kids really take to it, and they really, some of them really need that confidence boost, but then near the end of it, he kind of starts to see it spiral away from him. And, like,
yeah.
It's some of the kids start to take it a little too far, and he, like, it's like this dark mirror of, like, oh, fuck, I went back and I was trying to redeem Cobra Kai, but I sort of made it, like, it's not as crazy as in the movie. Like, they were psychos in the movie, but
yeah.
there's some disturbing stuff going on with some of those kids. Like, what's the kid? Hawk. Like, Hawk.
Oh, yeah.
Hawk is taking his lessons of, like, no mercy and strike first, he's just taking it too far.
Which I believe that guy, the character's Eli, played by Jacob Bertrand, which it's funny because he starts off, he's this kid with, you know, he had a cleft palate when he was born, so he has this surgical scar on his lip, and he's very insecure about it. But near the end, yeah, he turns into a cold-hearted psycho.
Like, it was weird because, like, I thought at first Johnny had given him some good advice, like, hey, you have to control your own narrative. Like, if people, like, you can't stop people from calling you the lip guy, well, then do something about it. And he comes back with this mohawk that almost completely distracts from his lip, and now it's this, you know, he changed his whole look so where he, like, and it gives him this confidence because now no one's looking at his lip. And I was
I forgot he had a lip thing by the end of the series. I'm just,
yeah, and it, because it really, because that look really does distract from his face, and I was like, holy shit, Johnny actually gave him some good advice. Up until the later part of it where he's that, I don't know, like, what happened. Like, it's what's weird about the show is that it's actually kind of a slow burn, a slow build to that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, it's almost, I mean, basically it is the story of the first Karate Kid, but stretched out over 10 episodes and given a little bit more character depth, you know?
Well, what it really is actually they've taken the Karate Kid and what the Warrior did for Rocky, this is like that for the Karate, or for Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, they did it where they gave equal weight and equal likability to every person in the cast. Like, there's no villain. Like, there are people who have villainous shades, like, especially that one really bossy teenage girl who they deal with off and on. And also Daniel's daughter's boyfriend who, you know, he's just a total tool. And they handily hand his butt to him at one point through the series. But of the main cast members, there's no Johnny from the original Karate Kid. There's no obvious bad guy in that case.
No, well, I mean, unless you want to consider Miguel, kind of, like, since we are, like, he is Johnny's protege.
Yeah, so this is a new actor played by Zolo Meridueña, which he's big from that show Parenthood that was on a while back. And yeah, he's the new guy who he moved in next door to Johnny. He really wants to, you know, Johnny saves him one day because Daniel, the daughter's boyfriend, is bullying him, and Johnny promptly kicks his butt there too. And it's like, man, karate's awesome. I want to learn how to do karate. I want to learn how to defend myself. And yeah, it's that thing where it's like, on the one hand, he's a super likable and passionate character up to a point. And the great thing is you never fully dislike him even when those changes start to happen. But you feel so bad because you're like, no, dude, you're doing so well for yourself. Stop it. You know,
it's just sad because Miguel is he's treating Johnny like, oh, you just don't know sensei the way I do. He's a really good guy. You just got to know him. And the sad part of it is that even though we've made Johnny the protagonist, he's not really a good guy.
The thing. It's like I never felt fully convinced that Johnny was as good as Miguel was saying, but it did a lot to make him more redeemable than what he was in the previous movies. But he's still
he's a more three-dimensional character, but he's not there yet. Like, he's in this season, he doesn't quite get there. Like, he makes some big strides, but by the end of it, he lets that shit kind of get away from him. And Danny actually kind of finds himself. So it was,
which that was the thing I did not expect, where, you know, there's a big point, like, I think 4 or 5 episodes in, where they have a huge, like, epiphany moment for him, where he's like, you know, I've lost balance. I've lost all the lessons that Miyagi taught me, which probably one of my favorite scenes in the whole series is when he goes to Mr. Miyagi's grave.
And he talks to him.
Yeah, in that moment, I'm like, wow, I'm actually kind of touched. I did not expect that.
I feel like I've let my anger take me. And it's like, that's what I always thought about the first Karate Kid is that, you know, even, you ever watched that video where they have the theory of Danny being the real villain of the Karate
yeah.
Kid? And, you know, that theory, like, that video actually has some points where Danny was a super big hothead at that time, and he...
Which they address in the show, too.
Yeah, and they actually, in this show, they almost make some of that parts canon. It's like, you know, I was in the wrong, but, you know, Johnny will be talking, like, you know, Johnny was in the wrong, but you didn't exactly de-escalate the situation when you had the chance either.
Yeah, you stole my girlfriend, you did an illegal kick in the karate match, you did all these things. It's like, you're not blameless.
I mean, like, and there's some of those things that are like, well, you can justify from Danny's perspective, but then there's other things when you hear him from Johnny's side, it was like, yeah, you know what, during the Halloween dance, I was kind of sitting mind my own business, and you kind of just turned a hose on me. What the fuck was that? Like, we were cool. No one, like, at that point, no one had been fucking with anybody at that point.
Which was funny, because, like, there's a lot of clips from the original Karate Kid that they show randomly at points throughout the series, but it never... Well, okay,
they don't feel out of place.
No, that's the thing that I liked about it. It's like they come in and out in weird moments where it's like sometimes they'll show a clip to accompany a certain memory and sometimes they won't. But they were never overly intrusive. Like I think the worst it got was that one little montage where Johnny's driving in the first episode and he's like reliving the moments where he gets kicked in the face and he's like, ah, like he's feeling it right then. And I'm like, that's a little goofy, but it was over before you knew it. And you're like, oh, okay, that's all we needed. So...
What I like about this series is that it feels very honest to me.
No, these guys who wrote it clearly love this movie, and they clearly love these characters.
I mean, they even recreate some sequences with Johnny, like when Johnny, in the first episode, he defends that kid and he beats up a bunch of teenagers. And I have this weird feeling of watching this, you know, just middle-aged guy just beat the shit out of some teenagers. I was like, oh, this feels kind of weird. But then again, I think to myself... This is exactly the same scene from the first Karate Kid where Mr. Miyagi kicks the shit out of those kids, too.
Yeah, no, they recreate a lot of scenes in this movie with, like, different perspectives. Like, this is, like, that scene, but different, you know? And yet, I complain about that a lot in other shows, but there was never a moment when those scenes felt dishonest or didn't relate to the plot. Like, they were actually there for the purpose of the characters, which I actually appreciated a lot.
They recreate even with Danny because Danny has a protege, too. It turns out to be Johnny's son.
Which, I gotta say, that guy, Tanner Buchanan playing Robbie Keane, he, out of nowhere, started to become my favorite character in this whole show.
Me too! I hated him when he first came on screen, because I was like, oh, here we go, stereotypical stepson,
it is his son, but, like, you know, he's like, oh, well, I'm not going to school, screw you, Dad.
You're never there for me, Dad, or whatever. And then he even starts off with Danny, like, working for Danny, because he knows it'll piss his dad off, and it's, like, this big con. But then, like, you know, Danny starts to show him, you know, some attention and, like, he starts to learn some lessons and he really starts to enjoy the karate lessons. And then they recreate the moment of, like, the wax on, wax off. And he even gets to, like, man, this is bullshit. You're just making me do your chores. And I love the little smile Danny gets, like, ha, ha, ha.
Oh, I love you. Like, this is my favorite part. That was the best.
And I was like, I gotta tell you, even though I wasn't a big, I'm not a huge super fan of the first movie, I was like, yeah, this is working for me, this is really cool. And then when he does the show me the wax off, show me the wipe, and he and Robbie gives that, whoa, and like that I know kung fu moment, it comes off, it's like a powerful moment again. And I was like, man, they recaptured it, how cool.
Yeah, no, it feels like it's always earned, and I like that about the show, is that, you know, it takes its time to build our relationship with these characters. Where it's like, yeah, you start off where Robbie is just a little douchebag, but then slowly but surely they break his guard and they, you know, open him up to being receptive to Daniel. And at the point where it's like, yeah, they kind of build this great father-son relationship between, you know, these two guys. And it was genuinely affecting at points. I was kind of shocked.
What I liked about Robbie as a kid was that he was – his whole outward look was, notice me, Daddy. At the beginning, that was it was just screaming that. And then once he actually gets a little bit of attention from any sort of father figure, he kind of really self-corrects. Like, he doesn't even need that much guidance from Danny. Like, his bully friend, or his, like, criminal friends that they want to rip off the auto lot. And, like, you figure, like, oh, that's how he's going to get found out by Danny or whatever. Like, no, he actually takes care of that shit himself.
Which I like that a lot, that, you know, it was something he had to earn himself to kind of rectify his previous actions that he did.
He took his own initiative. He didn't even need Danny to, like, fix it for him, which would have been a Miyagi thing in the first movie. And I don't know, it just made Robbie kind of right from that point. I was like, I think this might be my guy for this show. I was rooting for him pretty much from that point.
Yeah, and you know, and I think just in general, the whole cast was great in the show. We didn't even mention, like, there's Courtney Hengeler. Sorry, it's too many syllables in this one. But Amanda, Daniel's wife, where I really liked her a lot. I felt she was a good – I mean, she's mostly there to be the wife character, but she still managed to have a presence in the show that I really liked a lot. And then the daughter character, Samantha, played by Mary Mouser – where, I mean, I saw some reviews that were trying to say, like, oh, well, she's a great reversal in gender roles because she also was taught in karate. And I'm like, she's not there yet because she doesn't really have that moment. Like, you know, Hilary Swank is more that character they're thinking of from the next Karate Kid, but people
I think she'll come back into her own in season two.
No, they hint at stuff like that for sure. But I still think even as playing kind of girlfriend-ish character to start off, she still is, you know, a very likable character. Because they do that thing where she's just, oh, I'm angry at my dad, and, you know, I'm starting to become a teenager. But at some point, they find the things that make her a nice person. Because she doesn't hate her dad. She doesn't hate her mom. She's just going through high school angst. And they found a right balance to it, I thought.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I liked her. I liked that she took the initiative on their non-date that her and Miguel went on. I actually liked their chemistry as this...
They sold it really well, for sure.
But what was interesting about it was that I thought, like, I'm actually the only relationship that I didn't like with her was that it took her a long time to figure out that, oh, I'm in the bitchy clique. Like, it took her a long time to figure that out. Like,
and, you know, and I will say that kind of leads into one major complaint that I have throughout this show is that there's a lot of tropes that they pull. Because, I mean, again, it is Karate Kid but stretched out over a show. And there's a lot of tropes that they do even from 80s movies that I feel like kind of weighed it down because they were very predictable. Like, what, her relationship with the, you know, terrible clique of girls, the way there's the two major contrivances of things that people don't tell other characters that, you know, ultimately come to that head in the penultimate episode, the, oh, I can't believe you didn't tell me this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few of those that, while they weren't terrible enough to deride the show, they were so obvious and the way they unfolded was so obvious that I'm like, yeah, this felt like it could have been done a lot better.
See, as some of the times, some of the dialogue can be a little bit on the nose. Like when they.
Oh, it's corny. Yeah.
Later in the series, they recreate the beach fight. And, like, that's one of the recreations that I'm like, this feels a little forced.
Yeah. Right? Just a little bit.
And it's quick and it's over pretty much. It's over, you know, very quick. But it's again, it feels like, I don't know about this. Like. Like, you're right, it was like a whole series of events that kind of had to lead up to it, and it was just, it felt a little bit weird.
Yeah, it felt like for everything else that was so, you know, so much more nuanced than we expected, that was the stuff that was like, well, this is what we expect from a show or a movie like this.
You know, one scene I really liked was that, it was in that same, I think, episode, was...
Which we'll save the most spoilery stuff for later, but yeah, this is okay then.
There's a scene, like, there's a whole set of sequences where... Johnny and Danny just go on a drive and then go to this bar. They go to Danny's old place and they just kind of hang out for a while. And they shit talk, Allie's new husband on Facebook. Like, they do a bunch of, like, bro guy stuff. And I don't know, like, they sing the song in the car, like the 80s song in the car. And it's like, it's almost like they realize, like, you know, we might have been friends at some point if we had just not met at this very, like, antagonistic time or whatever.
It's that from another point of view kind of situation where it's like, oh, well, in alternate reality, this might have worked out well kind of thing.
And really all Danny needs to hear is that, like, that Johnny had a shitty stepdad and he kind of like, oh, well, I didn't know that. Like,
yeah, because all he saw was the rich part of him. And it's like, oh, but his stepdad, which weirdest Ed Asner cameo ever because... Man, right? That dude just looked yeah, he is looking old, like barely holding on there. But then it's like, yeah, when you see that life that he had, you're like, oh, well, it wasn't all roses and, you know, it wasn't all great for Johnny either.
Mm-hmm. Overall, I think that that relationship was – it's the most complex and it's the most interesting to see play out and watch its peaks and valleys. Even though, like, I would say that it is Johnny and Danny's show overall. Miguel and Robbie and some of the other kids get to, you know, get their time to shine as well. But it is overall between these two guys.
The young actors feel like they're kind of an extension of the overall rivalry between Johnny and Danny. But they still get enough of their own presence to be their own characters. They're not dependent on Danny or Johnny to have their own stories. Which mm-hmm. I liked a lot about this. And I will say, too, I mean, the only other major critique I can say about this is that because it's the people who brought you Harold and Kumar and the Hot Tub Time Machine, don't expect, like, fanciful filmmaking from this. Because, you know, it's very, you know, basic camera work, basic editing.
It's pretty standard. Like,
yeah.
It's my only complaint is that everything feels a little, like,
flat, static.
The fights are actually pretty well choreographed, and
I was surprised by that. Like, that's clearly where all the money for production went being stylized.
And there's not a whole lot of dynamic shots going on in there, but they keep the camera wide, and they keep it so where we can see the action pretty clearly the whole entire time. So that is pretty exciting. But everything else is kind of like it does have that like it looks like it might. You know, even belong on like the Sci-Fi Channel sort of like basic level of, you know, production, but
maybe more like a USA Today show or something.
USA
Network. Yeah. Yeah.
Sci-Fi might be a little harsh. But I think the star here, the real thing you're coming here for is surprisingly enough, the writing, the relationships between people and how they bounce off of one another and how they really just pull off like, this more, you know, nuanced and, like, nostalgic look at this old story and kind of, like, at some points pick at it, at some points honor it, and really just, you know, play with it in an interesting way.
Yeah, it's reverent and loving to the old series, but it knows exactly how to keep it going to make it feel fresh. You know, it's not slavish to the material. And I think that is probably its greatest advantage, is that it's people who clearly like this story. They like these characters. They like this tone. And they're like, well, what if we keep it going? How would these characters continue their lives 30 years after this initial story? And they did a darn good job doing it. And I was so happy. And yeah, I guess, I mean, other than a few other spoiler details, which we'll talk to after our initial review, any last thoughts before your rating, Nick?
I would say that I cannot believe this, but I am really looking forward to season 2 of Cobra Kai.
Which they do set up, for sure.
It's definitely, like, it's gonna happen. Like, they leave no way for it. Like, I'd be very disappointed if YouTube Red does not continue with this. I mean, I don't know what else they'd have to go with
it, but... this is, like, the only thing that's going to launch... Which, I'm going to say this, too. This is easily the single best thing YouTube Red has ever produced. Like,
I mean, I can only guess. This is, like, one of the only things I mean, I got the free trial to watch this, so I'm not exactly a purveyor of YouTube Red's content. I'm very, very shocked as how much I enjoyed it. I'm ready to, you know, there is very few weakness in this dojo. I wouldn't say no weakness in it, but I would say a solid 4 out of 5 douchey 80s headbands.
Which they brought back both the iconic headbands for each character. So that was cool.
like when Danny threw his on, I was kind of like, oh, really? Him too? Well,
it was such an obvious moment too, just like, oh, look, here's the headband. Which, you know, it was a little on the nose, but I'm like, okay, by this point when that happened, you kind of know what show you're going into. It's very 80s. And it's almost so 80s that it's a huge critique on modern children because, man, they hate millennials in this show. Like,
well, I love that Johnny was just like, cyberbullying? What pussies? Well, back when I was a bully, we bullied our nerds like men to their faces.
Which, and you know, and on one hand you're like, okay, yeah, obviously it's trying to be very anti-PC, but at the same time it's done with just that right, like, well, sure, we're not going to make fun of people in that way that's really mean like the 80s, but we're showing them, like, there's some things that you can learn about having some self-confidence, being your own person, you know, being able to defend yourself if you are experiencing bullying. Because, you know, even, I forget who the girl is, Aisha, or Aisha, I think her name is?
Yeah.
Where it's like, yeah, that story starts off where it's like, yeah, she's obviously being bullied because she's the chubby girl in the group. But they find a way to give her a boost of self-confidence with that 80s mentality where it's like, yeah, you know, some things that she can learn, even though, you know, she's a girl, she can't fight, which is Johnny's perspective on it. She manages to really toughen up and be her own person by the end of the story. And I really like that a lot about the character. And it's both defacing and, you know, kind of critiquing millennials, but also saying, look, you're not hopeless. You just need guidance. And I think that's a great thing about this where it's like, yeah, it's trying to show, you know, in that way of being nostalgic, how things, lessons from the past can still benefit the future, but then they also evolve. You know, Danny and Johnny have to evolve to meet these new challenges that these kids are facing. And it's just... Yeah, I just found myself at some point, like, even with the critiques of saying, yeah, it's very flatly shot, it's really not terribly dynamic in its technical value, and it is fairly predictable in a few points. Even some parts that happen at the very end, which we'll discuss, you know how it's going to end. There's going to be the obvious setup of certain characters, there's going to be the obvious outcome on certain events. But I just, you know, again, I'll say this, for any movie or show that can win me over with a lot of heart and a lot of great writing... That matters more than a show that's, like, really technically produced. You know, it's like saying versus Handmaid's Tale, which I respect as an art piece. Like, you know, it's a very lavish, stylish, well-produced show. But I just don't feel the urge to watch that show after an episode. I'm just like, man, I just feel drained and depressed and angry. And that's the point. But it really doesn't make me want to continue. Where this, it's maybe not as, you know, it's not reaching as high as Handmaid's Tale is. But I just enjoy watching this way more. Like, I would actually see myself go back and watching certain episodes again. And it's short. So, yeah, if you have any doubts for the show, the first two episodes are free on YouTube Red. On YouTube. You don't even have to subscribe. So you can watch those first two episodes, see if it's for you, and you can get a month's trial of YouTube Red. And I say it's totally worth it. I had a blast. I laughed. I cried. That's the thing. Chris actually messaged me when I was requesting for people to get on the review. He's like, so is this show funny? Because that's all that matters to me. And I'm like, okay, you're probably looking at it the wrong way because it's funny, but it's not a comedy. Like, that's the thing that shocked me was, like, it's way more dramatic than I ever expected it to be. So...
I mean, overall, I would say that, like, while it is funny, it's actually a little bit sad. Like...
It's melancholy, yeah.
Like, I mean, when you consider Johnny as the protagonist, like, it's kind of a sad story about a guy who's trying to reclaim his former high school glory. And, like, that's his main goal, and he doesn't even really do that quite right.
No, and that's the thing is, like, that's why it's so much smarter than I expected. And, yeah, for me, I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 Alexas ordering PSPs out of your authority. That little fat kid, I'm sorry, man. Maybe that's the point, that there has to be a little bit of imbalance of someone that you just clearly hate, but I hope they do something to make him not so much of a turd the next season, because I could not stand him.
All right, I am thirsty, Dad. Go get me a soda. I'll get you a fucking soda. I would crack a goddamn soda over that kid's head. What the hell is wrong with him?
I know. He's the dark side of Daniel's success, where it's like, yeah, I got this one daughter who's actually pretty cool and well-balanced, and then I have a spoiled little brat as a son. Also, I forgot to mention, the one guy who I absolutely hated in this show, but for the reasons that were intentional, that freaking cousin of Daniel's, whatever his name is.
Oh, Louis, his name was?
Oh, my gosh. Like, by the end of this show, you'll be like, yeah, screw you, Louis. Like, everything he does pretty much just only makes things worse for everybody. Like, he unintentionally provides some good things to happen, but he's a jinx, everything he does. So, by this point, I mean, we have a few spoiler details. There's not much to discuss about it, but there's a couple things that Nick wanted to comment on, especially too, and I also wanted to comment on that. We'll, you know, say, cut off here if you're done. You know, if you haven't seen the show yet, just stop here, go watch it, and come back. So, if you're back, then Nick, why don't you lead the discussion here? What was the part that you wanted to discuss, especially?
Well, I just really want to discuss how it ends here, because near the ending, you get the feeling like, oh, if they're really going to go for the season two here, there's only one way it can really end. And what's really interesting is how the story starts with Miguel finding confidence to stand up and to his bullies, and Robbie being kind of this little shit. And then suddenly, somewhere along the line, the script gets flipped, And Robbie is fighting for his own sense of balance and honor, and Miguel is fighting to just win. Like, he's like, he's got nothing left. He lost the girl because he was dating Danny's daughter for a while, and then, like, he fucked that all up, and then he becomes I wouldn't even say becomes Johnny, because even Johnny in the Karate Kid, he looked like he didn't want to break Danny's leg. Like,
yeah, where Miguel was just like, oh, he's got a broken shoulder? Yeah, I'm gonna use that to my advantage.
Yeah, I'm gonna fuck him up. I found his weakness, Sensei. And Johnny's like, whoa, kid, calm your ass down. Like, there's no reason we have to go that far with it. And yeah, they.
Does.
And he does, and Hawk kicks him in the shoulder too to start that off, and they become. It's interesting because the whole thing starts off as like, I can regain honor to Cobra Kai, and yet he makes them over again. He fucked, like, it. The series ends with him failing. He fucks up. He makes Cobra Kai the same way it was before. He totally fucks it.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like God of War, the end of that game, where it's like, yeah, you won. But was it really worth it in the end? Because you're kind of just back at the same place you started.
And I love it because Danny even says at the point where, because Robbie loses at the end, he doesn't win. And you know, all the Cobra Kai members are all jumping around. Johnny has this, you know, kind of shocked look on his face because he had to just watch his son get fucked up. And Danny goes to him like, hey, you finally won. And it's like this great look on Johnny's face of just like, oh man, I totally fucked up. And we, you know, I thought it was just going to cut to credits there, but we get to see Danny is going to open up his own dojo, in which Robbie's going to, you know, be his star pupil, it looks like.
Which I want to go to that dojo, the Miyagi dojo that they showed. That was cool.
Mm-hmm. It had a really neat look to it. I mean, it's no strip mall, but but then. If you didn't think the stakes could get any higher,
well, because first of all, there was also the reveal of his daughter now going into karate, like where she feels inspired to actually go back into her training, which was cool too.
Yeah, that's why I thought it would be cool too to have her on the opposite end of her boyfriend too, and like that would be the, you know, the stake. I mean, I was just impressed because the traditional ending would be to have Robbie win and have the Cobra Kai members, like, you know, learn like, hey, you shouldn't have gotten too high on your britches. And Johnny have learned a lesson or called a forfeit and have his redemption arc come to a complete sell. But it ends on this real big moment of failure for him. And I really like that. It was like a ballsy move on their point to build up, like, the whole season is built up around, we're going to redeem Johnny as a character, and to just have to leave that hanging with of like, no, it's so close, but yet so far. And then if that wasn't bad enough, because you figure like, well, he can, you know, he can probably just turn around. Now he knows that he fucked up and he can turn it around in the next season, right? But then, oh shit.
The big cameo.
Who should walk in but the master himself?
John Kreese.
I loved when he showed up, and he shows up like a fucking Bond villain. He's all in shadow.
Which was a little cartoony, but...
I mean, I was kind of into it at that point. I was riding the high from the tournament, so I was like... It's a little overdramatic, but I was going to let it go. And now Johnny has to deal with his own past insecurities of, like, his own former sensei. Like, he's now no longer King Dick of the Cobra Kai studio anymore. So things are only going to get worse for them. Like,
oh,
so
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, shit, I actually really want to see what happens in season two now.
Which I was shocked, because there's that earlier part when he goes to the conference with the other karate members where it's like, oh, yeah, John Kreese is dead. We don't have to worry about him anymore. It's like, oh, wait, he wasn't dead?
Yeah, they just dropped that line. I was like, oh, I didn't even know he was dead. Wow, okay. And then I assume they dropped that line just because they must have thought he was dead. But, you know, and then he comes back, and I was just like, oh, man, what a great way to up the stakes for season two. I was just very excited. I was like, I can't believe I'm this excited for a fucking Cobra Kai TV series.
Yeah, no, it was a great way to, you know, up the this is only the beginning moment. And, yeah, I can't wait. I think I've heard that they're going to move into production very soon, actually, for season two. Which can't consume enough, because I'm like, I want to see more. I want to see what happens. And, you know, the good thing is, too, this show is very cheap, like I said, so it probably would be really easy to get new episodes pumped out really quickly. So I just hope that they take their time to write the episodes to make sure it's up to that quality if they're not going to make them technically proficient, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically a general rundown. I mean, any other points that we missed? Or?
No, I mean, we could talk about some of the weird mustaches going on with, like, did you see they catch that one kid that was hanging out with Robbie at that point, one of the criminal guys?
When they comment on his mustache in the next episode, never explain, he just had it shaved off.
Yeah, like... and it was just gone. And I was just like, I'm like, good, because that thing was bothering me too. I'm glad someone called it out.
But I liked it. I was clever too that they didn't bring it up again. They're just like, no, he just shaved it. He just did it because he felt embarrassed by Johnny calling it out. And it's like, oh, that's a nice little subtle touch, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, oh, also the double kick, skateboard kick at the very end was pretty fun.
I knew the instant they introduced that concept that, of course, it's like, yeah, Robbie's going to learn how to do it. But the way they did it, as silly as it might seem in context, it was pretty freaking cool when he did it.
Yeah, when he did it, I was like, oh, I can't believe they made me bought that. Like, it was just...
Yeah, totally. Oh, you know what? Also, I forgot to mention, they brought back Randy Heller as Daniel's mother at one point in the show, too, which was a nice little cameo, too.
Yeah, I mean, she only comes up for, like, that one episode, so...
Yeah.
But it
was a welcome cameo, I thought, so...
Mm-hmm. And then her and the Danny's wife have, like, that big fight that's kind of resolved off-screen, so it was, like, just a conflict that was brought in and kind of just resolved just on its own, but...
Which was fine. I think, that wasn't really a big focus, and it wasn't really important to the rest of the show, so it's nice the way they kind of just handled it, I felt.
Mm-hmm. Well, they needed to get Danny out of the house there, and then the daughter to have, like, something to do to get them in their own perspective roles of the plot. It was kind of, a peace mover type move, rather than
There's a lot more peace moving than I expected, too, in this show. Like, there's a lot of, like, setting up for those moments at the final dojo, the final tournament, where it's like, this is where it all pays off, and... Man, they really pulled it off.
Oh, can I also say where that little kid with the glasses, where he's about to fight that kid that's twice his size, I was like, well, I mean, the traditional thing would be for him to somehow win in an unrealistic way.
Nope.
And then when that guy flips over him, I was like, nah, he fucked. Like,
poor little virgin.
Then he gets his ass kicked. Just this guy ninja kicks this little kid in the face. I laughed out loud.
Yeah, I know, I laughed too. And also the bit that made me laugh a lot was I think it was the same guy where they had the final four people and he makes this big giant speech like, I want to dedicate this to all genders, all races, all religions, and the way that we can bring peace to the world. And you see all of them, they're having the moment of silence that he prompts. And you see Johnny look over to Miguel, he's just like, kick that pansy in the face.
Yeah, fuck that guy up.
I'm just like, yes, thank you, Johnny.
Johnny has his moments.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm surprised. You know, people, if you're still listening to this, I'm equally surprised as you that I love this show so much. I cannot wait. This was a huge surprise. And I hope that doesn't get ignored. I hope people spread the word and say, yeah, dude, that Cobra Kai series is amazing. So.
I couldn't agree more. I'm very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's the most we got to cover for this. So thank you very much, Nick, and as usual, tell us where we can find you.
Well, you can find me at the Unapologetic Dojo, where we do allow weakness.
Sensei Tice.
I skip leg day, like, a lot, so there's...
And arm day, and ab day, and every other day.
I mean, there is no mercy, though, because we are unapologetic about it. But yeah, you can find me at unapologeticgeekout.com or the UGO podcast on iTunes. We do a lot of cool, interviews with content creators, other podcasters... web creators and all that sort of good stuff. We do our review show over on that network as well called Netflix and Kill, in which Justin is going to be on an episode, I believe, 2 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. I think we'll be talking about Jackie Brown, I think.
Yes, indeed.
And so we got some back catalog of Justin on there, as well as some of the other oneofus.net guys, including like John Romo. Chris Cox made an appearance, and Chris Herman. So, yeah, we got some, great context. Oh, and of course, Patience is on there all the time. We love Patience.
And her usual discussion of camping trip horror films.
I got to tell you, Patience is my favorite person that I disagree with on almost everything movie-related.
That's kind of her thing. Patience, I love you, but yeah, that's kind of for the thing here on the site.
I love talking with patients for like an hour and not agreeing on anything, but then hanging up going like, man, she is such a pleasant person to talk to. Like, how does that even happen?
I even stayed at her house, and that was the feeling. We were just like, yeah, man, I just don't agree with pages on a lot of film views, but she's the sweetest person.
I mean, I'd stay at her house, but I would not go camping with her. but you can also check out on our new podcast for Stand Against Evil, which called Pod Against Evil. We're getting some interviews set up with that, and we're getting a lot of traction going with it. And it's a great series that not a lot of people have heard about over on IFC, and any attention I can bring to it is good for that. So check out the show itself, and if you like it, maybe check out our podcast as well. With that, yeah, I can just kick it back to you, my friend.
Excellent. And yeah, you can find me on the subscriber-only podcast, Breakfast Pub, which, please, people, we would love to have you be a subscriber. It's only $2 a month. Every dollar goes to benefiting the site, keeping it up and running, and you get a lot of content. You get movie commentaries, you get our episodes of The Gathering, our special new old-style Leog kind of show, which I've actually called Geog, just The Gathering of Extremely Ordinary Gentlemen. I think that's a good little title, but it's a lot of fun. You get to hear all the regular members, including like Ian Butcher, some of the people that have been on our show, Chris, Bo, all those people. It's really, really fun. And then you can hear The Breakfast Pub, our weekly report on, you know, all things movie news related and trailers, which a new episode should be recording right now with Chris and Ian Butcher. So look forward to that soon.
How much is that? How much for all that great content?
$2 a month.
You're giving it away? You're nuts, Justin. You're crazy.
Chris is the one in charge of the site, man. I just follow the rules.
I
hawk this stuff.
I tell you what, I'm sending $20 right now just because I feel bad for listening to you guys so long for so little of price. So I wouldn't even mind paying more.
Yeah, I will not say no. So
there, did I read the script good enough? Can I get my money now?
We'll talk after.
Okay, cool.
We'd love to have you guys here on the Subscriber Cast, and we want to thank you guys so much. You guys keep this site running, and we'd love to keep this going for as long as possible with your help. So, yeah. Also, if you want a demo of that, we have a free episode of Breakfast Pub available on iTunes and on the site here. You can check it out and see if that's kind of your jam. So, with that, thank you very much, and we will talk to you guys later with another review of, well, whatever Chris will let me review next time. So,
and remember, sweep the leg. Sweep the leg.